On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we hear about the woman caught in adultery. And the theme invokes two words, compassion and conversion. She was brought in misery. She encountered the Lord. He was compassionate towards her. And compassion gives way to mercy, and mercy renders her conversion. This event occurred, and unless we put together a phrase that St. John has provided for us, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And that is, this was a test. It was a trap. They were trying to embroil the Lord. Back in the time of Christ, Palestine was an occupied country. The Roman Empire had taken over that part of the world, and the Jews were subject to them. Not in everything, but the Jews were not allowed to pass the death penalty. That's why when they falsely condemned Christ for blasphemy, they then had to go to the Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate, for the decree to be issued. And of course, Pontius knew that Christ was innocent, and that's why above his cross is not the crime that he committed, but rather Jesus, the King of the Jews of Nazareth. That's his crime. In other words, he's committed no crime. Our Lord was handed over to Pontius Pilate because he was too religious. The Jews handed him over because he was too political. Politics and religion are the two big domains. And if you want to go and meet someone you don't know too well, or perhaps strike up an interesting conversation, or things are a bit quiet in your interlude over a dinner or a barbecue, just throw in the topic of religion or politics and watch the sparks. You know? It just causes all types of people to come out of the woodwork and state their case or vent their anger. Religion and politics. And that was exactly the trap or test. Because they brought this woman to the Lord. If he had of started with religion, the Mosaic covenant, yes, she's caught in adultery, she deserves to die, stoning is punishment, then he would have been too harsh. But furthermore, they said, well, you're not allowed to pass that decree. They would have brought in the Roman soldiers who would have arrested him because he's being a religious fanatic. If he did not then command that she be put to death, perhaps he thought to himself, oh, look, you know, takes two to commit adultery. Where's the man, after all? This is unfair. Just this woman brought to me. Where's the bloke? There was no man. And furthermore, he may have noted, she seems so contrite. I think she's sorry for her sin. We'll let her go. Well, you're not very good in religion, are you? You're failed. You must be a politician. You're changing the rules as we go. In other words, they thought they could trap him. It was a test. He didn't fall for the trap. Divine wisdom doesn't think in the way of human folly, but rather he did what is unique. It's unique because Jesus is God, and God here wrote. It's the only record in the whole of Scripture of God writing. He bent down and wrote on the ground. Now we don't know what he wrote, we're not told, but we are told the Greek word. To write in Greek is graphein. That's where we get the word graphics from. But this is not the word used. The word used is katagraphein, which means he drew up a list, like your shopping list. You itemize things. He itemized in writing, more than likely Aramaic, on the ground, what? The sins of those standing around him. Not just once, but twice. He wrote down perhaps the word thief and looked up at the man on the left who was known to steal. Then perhaps he wrote the word blasphemer and turned his head to the other side and looked in the eyes of the person who's committed blasphemy. Perhaps then he wrote the word adultery and looked in front of him and saw a man who had committed adultery. No one knew each other's sins, but God knows all our sins. And of course, he then stood up and said, the person who has not sinned cast the first stone, and went back to writing all of the sins present of those who were standing around him. And one by one, with the elders, they all left. Point being, everyone gathered around that woman, including the woman herself, is a sinner, as we all are. And God alone knows our sin. What's merciful is that God did not proclaim publicly the sins of those he was writing. The only public sin on display that day was adultery. And she was brought to the Lord. He gave her compassion. And from that compassion came conversion. It was a very fitting moment and a very apt moment. And it reminds us that God forgives. God heals. But the two, compassion and conversion, must go side by side. They go together as left and right. To have compassion and not conversion, or conversion without compassion, is a lie. Two must go together. Back in the 70s in Australia, with the changes and everything in our culture, in our church, I think we lost the theme of conversion somewhat. Pope Paul VI and later on John Paul II lamented the age we're living in, an age that we call the eclipse of sin. People don't believe they sin anymore. Or what is a sin after all? Everything was up for grabs and no one really sins, Father. No one breaks the commandments, and besides, the commandments are Jewish. We don't believe in those things anymore. We changed our confessional from being a penitent and a priest to hear people's sins on behalf of God, into therapy, counselling sessions. People would come in and the priest would psychoanalyse or assist them mentally, and perhaps sometimes spiritually. Furthermore, we had a plethora of hymns coming out, and the theme of forgiveness, healing, conversion wasn't as common as it ought to be. One of those hymns was Come As You Are. Now, Come As You Are is no longer acceptable in this country. The bishops have decreed a few years ago that it's no longer allowed as a Catholic hymn. Why? Well, the tune's lovely. I like the tune myself, but the words don't convey the full gospel. Come as you are. Yes, we all come as sinners to our Saviour, and then we leave converted. We're not told to go away with a change of heart. We're just told to come, and stay as we are. And the coming's fine, but we ought to go with a change of heart, as this woman did. And that is not part of the lyrics of that song or hymn. That's why the church doesn't promote it. So compassion must lead to conversion, and we need to encourage people to have a change of heart. And we do that by seeking forgiveness, by whispering in the ear of Christ our sins, which he alone knows. We haven't been to confession in preparation for Easter. It's still the time to go. And take a friend, someone who hasn't been for many years. Let them have their misery wiped away by God's mercy. And notice final thought with regards to this woman who came. It's a 180. Things completely changed. I say that because she came accused by the accusers. She left, and those who were her accusers were now accused of their sin. She left being sinless because she encountered a Saviour. They were accused of their sin by the Saviour and left still accused. We're not told they were forgiven. We're not told they were converted. We're not told go and sin no more. So what they wanted to happen didn't happen. And in turn, what she didn't expect to happen did happen. And so often that is the case in confession. People are fearful, afraid, haven't been for many years, don't know what to say, it's all too much. They go in, God touches their soul, heals it, and they leave. And they wonder, why didn't I go many years earlier? God is rich in compassion. He takes away our misery and then, with his mercy, brings about that conversion. Let us pray that more people cash in and have a change of heart in this year of mercy. Pray for Jesus Christ.